Okay, bye-bye.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Art of Love with your host, Lucia, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Art of Love. My name is Lucia. I'm your host and a dating and relationship expert. And I'm here to entertain, educate, and enlighten you about love, dating, and relationships. Take your calls, answer your emails, and speak to authors of books which I find interesting. And I'm very happy and very proud to have the wonderful, the one and only Dr. Pat Allen back on the show again. I had her last year and I promised her I'd have her back on, and I kept my promise, which by her definition of love means that I love her. And she's written a new book called The Answers Book, which is perfect because she has the answers and I have the questions. So let me welcome her to the show, and we can get started and find out all the answers to all the questions that I have for her. Welcome back to the show, Pat.
Thank you for having me again. I appreciate having this opportunity to carry the message that I have found works for me and for many of the people that I counsel.
Yeah, it obviously works for a lot of people. Now, obviously, Dr. Pat Allen doesn't need an introduction, but I'll give her one anyway. She's a communication and relationship expert and Jungian therapist. She's been on countless TV and radio shows, including Oprah and most recently The Millionaire Matchmaker, and is the author of numerous best-selling books. And, of course, the website is drpatallen.com. So, Dr. Pat, I'm going to ask you a question I don't think I've ever heard you answer, and that is, what is your
definition?
Yeah, what's that? What's your definition of chemistry?
Chemistry is a neurobiological attraction created by nature to get the population up in numbers, and it's wonderful, and we're doing lots of research on it. And the chemistry that is best is when the person you're attracted to has a chemistry a little like your opposite parent, but a little like your opposite parent. If you're a woman and you meet a man and you have chemistry, I'll wager that that man has some of your dad's DNA, but some not like your dad. If he's too much like your dad, he's taboo. Your body will not be attracted. If he's too much not like your dad, he'll be an alien and your body will not be attracted. And the same goes for men, for women. It's, for example, Winnicott did a big research project with T-shirts for women. He had some nice men wear T-shirts for 3 days, and they DNA'd them up, and then he put them in smell-well little boxes or some kind of containers, and he had women go by and smell them. Now, when I say smell, I use that advisedly because it actually isn't the olfactory cranial nerve. It actually is a pre-cranial nerve, which is called the pre-olfactory cranial nerve, whose job is to send one strand to your neocortex and one strand to your pituitary, and by doing so, picks up the balance of chemistry and sends you the message that this one is a keeper. Isn't that interesting?
So when you meet someone and you feel this instant connection to them, even though you haven't had sex, so you don't have the oxytocin bonding, that's chemistry.
Yes, and that is the beginning of the oxytocin release. The having sex is when you consummate the chemistry and hopefully you've negotiated a good deal and it's not a one-night stand.
Right. In fact, because you said that boys don't fall in love when they get cheap, free sex. They just get addicted.
That's right. young men are so over testosterone that their estrogen will not impact them till their perianthropause. They have the same midlife crisis changes we do. They go off their testosterone, and the estrogen in their body takes over. Grandpa's nicer than Dad, and Grandma's meaner than Mom. So that it's interesting that nature will have us physically attracted, but civilization is what teaches us how to consummate it. We are animal, but we are human. And the animal part of us thinks that chemistry is love, when all it is chemistry.
So then, by your definition of boy, would that be anyone under 40?
It's usually, andropause and menopause are usually 45 to 65, depending on you individually. 40 is a little early. But 45 to 65, we can start watching for symptoms of he getting his red Ferrari and his hot chick, and she going back to school and seeing that darling little toy boy.
Uh-huh. Yes, I know all about that. Now, so then what is your opinion on guys over 40 who have never been married?
I think they're wily foxes and probably players, and they're probably the best men on the planet. But you women who are listening anyway, had better be virtuous because they don't. I have a new book coming out. I'm just in the process of writing it. Men marry virtue, not vaginas.
Why do you say they're the best men on the planet?
Because they're wily foxes and usually are really good men who require women to be very. A man is a man, to lady. It's supposed to be a sister, but it rarely is anymore, anyway. A man is a man till he meets a lady, and she requires him to be a gentleman. I had a really dynamic man in my office the other day, and he was fascinated by the work, and he's dealing with the work, and he's dealing with the girlfriend that I'm teaching how to handle him, and he's never been married, and he wants to be married. But he will not marry a woman that he can outfox sexually.
Meaning have sex with without a commitment.
You got it. He said, if women only knew that sexual request, 60%, and this is a statistic, 60% of men ask and beg for sex they even know they shouldn't get.
Wow. Uh-huh. 60, only 60? I thought it was 100%.
No. Uh-uh. No.
Okay. So, then moving
on. So it's up to us. We're the gatekeepers. What are we doing letting them in?
That's what I say. But women think the guy's going to run away if they don't have sex sooner rather.
And goodbye to them. Because if you mark off the calendar for 8 weeks of neurobiological evaluation, he's going to be so fascinated by your ability to withstand his wonderful barrage that he's going to call you back. And now people... I read this first in Psycho-Cybernetics, the 8-week rumination period of time when we humans, male and female, fuss, think, feel, while we're deciding whether we want to do something. But too often, women call them before they have ruminated their way into reaching out. It's so fun for me to have a woman call, do you know, Pat, he called 8 weeks exactly. I had one darling lady who's got a wily fox on the string, and it took him 10 weeks to call. But he called.
And so what was he doing in that 8 to 10 weeks?
What was he doing?
Yes.
He was getting laid everywhere he could, and they were not satisfying him because he was fascinated with the woman that could withstand his barrage. And finally, he tried to stay away, but he couldn't. And he's back. And do you know what he does every single day? Bed checks, calls her in the evening, because now he thinks that she's with every man on the planet. See, the funny thing is men think we're like them,
right.
And they think, you know, the opposite. It's not true. Men are men, and we are women. And we have our power. I love the book by Leonard Schlain, Sex Power. We have the veto right. What are we doing saying yes to cheap deals?
I agree.
Good.
We definitely agree on that. So in that 8 weeks, you know, he's out there having sex, and then it's not satisfying, and so he figures, hey, you know, why did she say no? I'm going to go back and see if I can convince her to say yes. Is that what they're doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time he calls, he gets another 8 weeks. I've seen men take 4 8-week cycles before they, what is it that I can do? I had a couple in yesterday, darling. He's a wonderful, you know, educated, handsome, and she, you know, and they're in their 30s something or other, and she's beautiful, and she's a Pat Allen girl, and they had come in some months ago, and he wanted her to stop dating. She said, I'm not going to stop dating till we're in a committed, long-term, marriage-bound, exclusive relationship. And he said, oh, that's so stupid. You know, So yesterday, and I won't say what day it is today, but in the near past, they came in again. He was not happy because there he was again in front of this little old lady, not really, but this mature woman, and we were negotiating, and he was saying, I want her to stop dating other men. And she said, well, then give me a monogamous, marriage-bound, continuous relationship. No, I can't do that. And he started arguing with me about the unreasonableness, the 50s, the puritanical, the controlling mother. He was giving me every... I said, sir, I said, do you want to leave the room or shall I leave the room? One of us has got to leave. And so he said, well, you leave the room. And I got up and he was surprised. And then he said, I'll leave the room. And I said, fine. So then she and I stayed for the rest of the hour session because she was sad that he couldn't get it. And what did he do before that hour was over?
What?
He called.
Oh.
He called her. And he said, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she said, and I'm writing notes on paper. Tell him you're sorry and sad that he left. She did it. And then I wrote a note. See if he'll come back at this time. And she said it. Guess who came back? Guess who was near tears? Near tears. Because he had never experienced this human being is such a powerful executive that he could not believe that a woman, me, could control his life to the degree that if he didn't surrender to my teaching, that he was going to lose this precious woman in his life. And do you know what? By the time we ended the second half hour, they had negotiated a long-term marriage bond, exclusive relationship, and they were both happy.
Wow. And how long had they been dating up to that point?
They've been together probably 5 or 6 months. But she was starting to get really tired of his harassment. Don't you stop. You got to stop. Why are you listening to that lady?
Okay. So then what happens? Because you tell women to date three guys at a time until they have a commitment.
I did. And she was having a ball. She was having a ball.
And so does she have? So when you're dating three guys, do you have sex with one of them or none of them?
None of them.
None?
She doesn't have sex with anybody unless he's in a monogamous, continued, long-term relationship.
Got it. So then, and then when you finally get that commitment, then you stop the other two.
She's going to.
Right.
She stopped the other two.
Okay, yeah, because that always confused me, because I'm like, if I'm dating three guys, do I have sex with one of them and not the other two?
No. No, you can do that. Now that you brought it up,
okay.
I'm going to tell you about a caveat that I give.
Okay, good.
That there are women that are very masculine and very sexual, and they say the same thing. And this is what I say. If you have an ex-husband or an old boyfriend that you still are friends with, you can create a primary relationship with him in which you and he, who've burnt out all of your options for ever getting together again on a serious level, you can agree to be lovers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they do.
Okay, good.
So, but it has to be someone you've never been with, because you and I both know that what you think is nothing, the next morning may be something
right.
else. So nature being what nature is.
I know, Mother Nature. You mean?
Oh, by the way, I want to throw out a couple of books.
Okay.
The books are Helen Fisher's book, who she's the head of dating service right now, that she'll be nameless. Helen Fisher. Well, I mean, you know.
I know. I won't say it.
Okay. Helen Fisher wrote a book, and it's called Why We Love. And another book by very famous world-class therapist, Arthur Janoff, has written a book called The Biology of Love, which is about people with a screw loose who get into sexual chemical messes. Helen Fisher's is an anatomical statement that's for sweet, healthy people. But Arthur Janoff's book is for people with a problem and how they get into more difficulty when they follow their chemistry, which is geared to their pathology, not their health.
Okay, great. Now, you mentioned exes. So why is it that exes keep coming back? Like, it just happens to me all of a sudden. I date these guys, and then I break up with them, or sometimes they break up with me. And then eventually in the future, they always show up again, even if it's years later. Like, what is going
on? I'll tell you exactly why. There are three elements to a relationship. Chemistry, which I can't do anything about. It's either there or it isn't there. Compatibility, which is you live in the right part of the state or the country, and your jobs fit, and your religions fit, and your whatever fits. And then the magical term, communication, that you negotiate a deal that is going to be compatible with both of them. Chemistry. And you've got compatibility. That means you can't negotiate a deal. Therefore, you can keep on coming back together for a weekend or, you know, remember, same time next year thing. If you've got chemistry and you've got communication, but you don't have compatibility, then your lives just don't fit. If you've got chemistry, if you've got compatibility and communication, you don't have chemistry. You've got to have all three to be in love. If you've ever had a man say to you, I love you dearly, but I'm not in love with you.
Right.
Then you know what I mean.
That means that what, there's no chemistry?
You're missing something.
You're missing one of the three.
In that case, you're missing chemistry.
Okay, so
People that have chemistry sometimes don't have compatibility, and sometimes don't have good communication skills.
But what if you have the chemistry and the communication, but not the compatibility? What can you do?
Then hopefully you come to Pat Allen or some. I'm a marriage family therapist. I will help you negotiate a deal, compromise deal, about time, I, we, and us, space, where you live, money, which is often a big deal breaker, and fun, pleasure. Sometimes people live so much in the box. Say, for example, I had a couple come in, and their parents had sent them in. They were two airline hostesses, or stewards, or whatever you call them today.
Right.
You know, and one was stationed in New York, and one was stationed in Los Angeles. And they married. And their parents were absolutely upset. They said, you can't be married and living in two different spaces. And I said, why not? Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, too many people live in the box of boredom. You have to sleep in the same bed. Well, I've got news for you. I've got people with apnea and restless leg syndromes. They cannot sleep together. They have two equal master bedrooms They go to bed, they watch television, they read books, they make love, then they split.
Mm-hmm.
And then people say, you can't be married like that. And I said, where? Who said that?
Right.
Sometimes they need to come to someone like me who's a therapist, not a moralist, you know, or not a religion freak.
Right.
I will help them think of creative ways to negotiate an incompatibility that they didn't think of, because they think that there's some paradigm in the sky that says you have to sleep in the same bed and you have to live in the same bedroom, in the same house, in the same city, and you don't.
Got it. Now, your phone was cutting out when you were answering the first part of the question about why exes keep coming back. So can you repeat just
the coming back part? Because they've got chemistry and they've got communication. They just are not compatible.
Got it. Okay.
There may be an age problem. There may be a family problem. There may be, who knows what the problem is.
Right. Got it. Okay, now, talking about masculine women, alpha women, whatever you want to call them, you said in your book that, you know, sometimes they were abused in childhood, and so they don't bond. So what are they supposed to do? Are they doomed?
No, I didn't say they don't bond. I said they can't bond looking down. An alpha woman has to be long-term with an alpha man.
Mm-hmm.
And they often make mistresses. If you saw the old show, Tony Soprano, his wife was stirring her bowl, remember?
Uh-huh.
But his mistress was with a wild animal. Very often. See, alpha men adore their beta lovers. You know, they serve them, they sex them, they do everything, and they don't complain. But when it comes to marriage, an alpha man hopefully will marry an alpha woman. But oftentimes they only marry one alpha woman because she doesn't know how to fake beta. You know what fake beta is?
Tell me, I'm sure you will.
Fake beta is when you act like a beta,
uh-huh.
Even when you're an alpha. It's when you surrender, when you're passive and not active, when you're patient, when you're vulnerable to his leadership. Alpha men don't put up with garbage.
Okay.
That's why I'm talking about the player men. Player men want respect. If you don't respect them, I don't care how much chemistry they've got for you. You're leaving because you're distracting him from his life, which is often very complicated. So I teach alpha women how to act beta when they're alphas and use their alpha outside the home, in their career, you know, run for a country, for God's sake.
Right. So basically, by being a fake beta, you have to pretend to be vulnerable and acquiesce to his desires and
you're right.
And yield.
And you know what you're doing? You said the right word. Acquiesce. Not surrender. Not capitulate. Acquiesce. You know what acquiesce is? Acquiesce is doing what the team needs, even if it's not your personal preference. If you want to be on a team with an alpha man, you better act like a beta. You better respect him, or he can't marry you. He can't keep you. You're too disrespectful.
Got it. Okay, but I'm looking in your book here. Maybe I didn't quote you right. In talking about sex, you were saying masculine women don't bond. They also don't orgasm or fake them because they're too head.
That's true. And you know why?
Why?
Because they don't have the opportunity to be deflowered by an alpha man. I've said it. I'm saying it to you. So what they do is settle for beta men. And alpha women cannot have an orgasm with a beta man. Period. End of report. But they want to be touched, and they want to be social, and they want to sleep with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying that a lot of alpha women go for being a mistress to a man who's a player or what you would call a bad man, and they marry a rich beta.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let's say a woman is a masculine woman, but she wants to be more feminine. She can't. She just has to fake it?
Well, she can't. What's wrong with faking it? Don't we wear makeup?
So I guess there's no way, because of whatever happened in the past, you can't get rid of the masculinity in you. You just have to fake it, is what you're saying.
You know what? You can get rid of your masculinity. You know how to do it?
How?
Get too fat or get too thin so that nobody asks you.
Oh. I don't think anyone's going to want to do that.
Do you understand what I'm saying? When women use, there's three drivers for humankind. One is sex, one is money, and one is mind-altering chemicals that you either ingest or produce in your body. Do you know how frustrating it is for alpha women to try to mate and marry in a women's lib era?
Mm-hmm.
They've been given permission to be narcissistic, to be respected and cherished, which they want to be, and then they can't find a man who will accept that. And you know why? It's competitive. So what does she do? She either overeats, undereats, uses drugs, do you see, or gets into some kind of addictive behavior that produces enough dopamine in her own body that she feels high.
Mm. Wow.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. Alpha women have...
And then, what?
I was going to say, alpha women have a tough time of it these days.
You're at alpha human beings. You know, remember I just told you about the very powerful executive, not the guy with the girl, but the one that wants to marry,
yes.
And he's getting up there,
uh-huh.
And he wants to marry, but he said, I can get any woman with 2 hours to have sex with me.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact, now there's probably, let's see, I'm in my 70s, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And that definitely qualifies me for Uber Cougar. Wouldn't you agree with that?
You're the ultimate Uber Cougar.
You're not kidding. But I can fake beta like you can't believe. And it was really fun in that session, you know, where I was talking about myself. I made a statement. I said, I never want to live without a man. My husband died in 03. Then I had a wonderful, powerful boyfriend, and he dropped dead about 2 years ago. And I have a wonderful boyfriend out of town who's 80,
woo,
who's still alpha. He's so sexual, still alpha. But we don't see each other 1 week a month because we're both career people. He lives in another state, and I live here, but we have the best time 1 weekend a month, and we both agree that that's all we want. We never want to marry. He's got 5 grown kids. I've got 4 grown kids. It would take 16 lawyers 4 years to figure out the trust funds.
Right. Good for you, Pat. Now, is it true
I want to finish the story.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So I said to this man, who will be nameless, I said, I never want to be without a man. And he said to me, went right into his player mode, and he said, yes, I find you attractive as well. I thought, there he went for it. See? And I thought, that's what, 1 point, it's unethical for mess around with clients. But you know what? That stroke still went in.
That's right. Okay, so is it true that men love bitches?
That men want what?
Love bitches.
Yes, men love bitches because bitches love themselves more than they love the men. And the men really are guilty and ashamed, as I told you, of winning so easily. I cannot stress enough how women make a mistake when they try to please men sexually without getting a commitment. The men don't want it either. They can't fall in love when they receive more love than they have earned.
Right.
And that book is wonderful, except I don't know if I can say C-U-N-T on the radio. May I?
Go ahead.
Pardon?
Go ahead. It's the internet.
Oh, good. Excellent. I don't know what we're on. I'm not into IT.
It's okay.
Anyway, the book is mistitled. It should be Why Men Love Cunts. Do you know what a cunt is?
Tell me.
A cunt is a woman who wins with a man and he doesn't know how she did it.
Give me an example.
I was a cunt when I said to him, I'll never live without a man, blah, 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 blah. I threw him that message, and he responded, I got a stroke for my trolling. A bitch is somebody who overtly says, do you like me? Do you see what I mean?
Uh-huh.
A cunt is a woman who says, I will never live without a man.
So she's more covert, is what you're saying?
It's covert. She sends the message. She sends the message.
Okay.
Under the covers. So, naturally, you and I know. I had a darling Christian girl in therapy, and she was so upset because I said, you know, not blasphemy, I said, there's something good about the word cunt. Because men only call us cunts
yes.
when we're winning.
Oh,
so
she
went on a tangent to find out the meaning of the word cunt. And she found out that it meant cradle of wisdom and ancient wisdom. Those were two meanings for the word cunt.
And that's
the truth. When women act like ladies... Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
They require men to be gentlemen. When women try to please men by capitulating and surrendering to their bestial needs and wants, they're giving away their major point.
Mm-hmm. Their ace in the hole.
Remember, Harvard did a study that said women marry for status and security, and men marry for sensual and sexual security. Now, we marry for money, and they marry for sex. But if we give them sex before we've negotiated our status or our financial security, a la legal marriage or whatever we are going for, if we do that, they've got everything, and we have nothing.
But men still marry for sex?
Men marry for sensual and sexual stability. They want you. See, we women want generally. I want to be married to a man that can provide for me and the kids till I get, you know, till I go back to work, blah, 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 blah. Mm. The book that I might recommend for you and your audience is The Evolution of Desire, the 03 edition, red cover, by David Buss, B-U-S-S, and it's about the Harvard study done in the 90s and still valid, wherein 10,000 people were interviewed. Why did you mate, which is marriage without a legal document, and marriage, which is mating with a legal document? Why did you give up your right to be polygamous, sir?
Mm-hmm.
And why did you give up your right to find a better deal, miss?
Mm.
And the truth is that two-thirds of all women, or feminine men as well, two-thirds of them mate and marry for sensuous home and sexually desirable and available body. Two-thirds of all yang people, which are men mostly and women secondarily, mate and marry for sensual and sexual. Yin people mate and marry for status and financial stability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you see?
Yeah, I'm going to have to read that book.
You're not kidding. The Evolution of Desire. One-third of Yang people, men or women, mate and marry for a status and security, and one-third of Yin marry for sensual and sexual.
Okay, got it. So another thing you say in your new book, The Answers book, you say don't gather information that's too painful to handle. Why is that?
Because if I ask him, are you dating other people, he's either got to lie to me, which I'll pick up, or he's got to tell me the truth. And of the two, the truth is worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want women to interview men. I want women to be interviewed by men. I want to know if you're dating other men. Didn't I tell you the story of the man and the woman, and he was mad that she was still dating other men?
Right, right.
And it's like 5 or 6 months later,
mm-hmm.
and they're having this duel.
Right.
Okay, well, we ended the duel yesterday. He capitulated. He acquiesced to her needs for status and security, and therefore he got a chance to maybe marry her.
Okay. Right.
So that's the way the deal plays. Men hate the idea of the woman they want dating other people. They hate it.
Mm-hmm.
We women share better than they do.
So you're saying that women should never ask men anything about what's going on in their life outside of their...
No, they shouldn't. What they do is they ask for their commitment, you see, and they watch the track record for keeping the agreements. Remember, you were alluding to it earlier on.
Right.
The only way you know you love yourself or anyone else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep. If you can't make or keep agreements and he can't, you're not mature enough to mate.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely unavailable to dating monogamously or marrying or mating, whatever. Remember, once a man gives up his right to date and have sex with other women, he's mated.
Okay.
Once a woman gives up her right to look for a better deal, she's mated. I'm not so gung-ho that you have to have a legal document. Do you see?
Right, right. Okay.
There may be reasons. She may be getting $100,000. I had one lady come in after the fact, but she had helped a man build a ranch, a huge estate, and she was getting $100,000 a year, alimony, plus a ranch, under the condition that no man would ever live on that land.
Mm-hmm.
What did she do? She moved a cowboy in, lost the alimony, and lost the ranch.
Wow.
And the cowboy did not marry her.
Oh. That's not good. I just thought of something. So let's say you're dating the three guys, and you decide to have sex with, an ex-lover or something. And so the other guys you're not having sex with, if they ask you if you're having sex with someone else, do you answer yes?
No.
So you lie?
Of course.
Okay. I have no
problem.
You're
the one that brought up that I... You know what a lie for love is?
I have no problem with that, trust me.
Do you know what a lie for love is?
Tell me.
It's when you're telling the truth with regard to morals, ethic, and legal. A man who is not your husband, who you're not engaged to, who you're not monogamously committed to, is not deserving of the truth if it's going to damage you.
Wow, I like that. What other lies can we tell?
Let me see. You know the one that I don't approve of? Age.
Oh, okay.
I am so sad when people lie about their age and their profiles and stuff,
mm-hmm.
because if it's a serious relationship, you're going to have to face that clerk at that stupid and, you know, licensing board. It's going to come up.
Uh-huh.
So why not just tell them?
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's really funny, I'll tell you, because I'm here with you,
mm-hmm.
is that I am so proud of my age and the quality of my life. But I tell it all over the place. And my manager agent, right, doesn't like it. You know, he says, if it's not a positive, don't say it. And that's why, did you notice at the beginning of this, more towards the beginning, I said I'm in my 70s?
Yes. But we all know that anyway.
That was a lie. That was a lie for love.
Yeah, we can't hide that. So you're saying then lie about anything that's not going to benefit you to get to your goal of getting engaged. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying lie about anything that has no moral, ethical, or legal implication.
Okay. I'll have to think.
No moral. No, that's only a pimple. No big deal. That's a law.
Okay.
You don't lie about STDs.
Right.
You don't sign contracts with other people's names.
Right. Okay.
You don't, you know, no. What I'm saying, a lie for love is when a boyfriend's finding out that you're dating other people, and you know he's going to be mad.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Okay. Now, the girl that's dating is not having sex with anybody. Do you understand that?
Right.
But if she had a boyfriend in the background, and they were chemically friends, she would say no. And the reason for that is that it's the question that the new man has no right to, because all he's got to do is promise monogamy, continuity, and longevity, and she'll stop having sex with the guy.
Right. Okay. So you don't say you're having sex, but obviously you say you're dating other guys.
Yes. As long as he hasn't committed,
right,
he doesn't qualify for your private life, especially if it's deleterious to your goal.
I love it. Okay. What about, what do you
mean? It must be moral, it must be ethical, and it must be legal.
Okay, got it. What do you mean by demonstrate, don't educate?
What that means is, for example, the girl that would not have sex. Too many of my girls are smart, and they want to teach them what I'm teaching you right now.
Yes.
Boring.
Right.
I want the girl to simply say, you have every right. This is what, these are the tools. I'm going to give the tools right now.
All right.
Tool number one, never ask him what he feels. Unless he's puking or bleeding.
Right.
Always ask him what he thinks, what he wants, his opinion, his suggestions, his ideas, even if you've got a doctoral dissertation in it. Do you see?
Uh-huh.
That's tool number one. Tool number two, when you have an idea, a want, an opinion, a suggestion, a thought, a need, please knock before you tell him, honey, I have an idea about where to go, when to do, what to do, who to do it with, and why to do it. When would it be convenient for you to hear my idea? Today, hopefully, before I go to sleep. If he says, I don't want to hear it, thank you, mouth shut. If he says, okay, now is fine, then you tell him. By doing the permission request, you're respecting him. When you tell him spontaneously your wants, your thoughts, your ideas, your opinion, your suggestions, you're disrespecting him by teaching him.
Got it.
Have you got that one? That's a big one.
Yes, yes.
And that's the one that is the fake beta.
Mm-hmm,
now, does that
mm-hmm.
sound bad? To ask for permission to teach and preach?
No, I don't care.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And the next tool is how to fight with the man you know you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's done something that's really irritated you, right? But it isn't something you have to call the police for. You don't have to get a lawyer for. You don't have to call a doctor to save your life.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a moral, ethical, legal issue. Make him right for what he did wrong. You had every right to say that. You had every right to think that. You had every right to that opinion. You had every right to be you, but I'm uncomfortable with it. I really don't want to experience this again. What do you think about not doing that again? And what can I do to help you not do that again?
Mm-hmm.
You see what that is? One more time. That's respectable. You see, you're demonstrating your ability to respect a man who's irritated you by your communication technique. And the fourth tool is, if you've ever seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, this one is in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called How Do You Flush Nonverbal Body Language, which is 85% of all communication. How do you flush it to the verbal negotiable level? You can't negotiate an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I love parents who say, young man, get that look off your face. They can't do that.
Yeah.
Feelings aren't negotiable. You've got to use drugs, meds, and kill yourself or them. People don't realize you can't negotiate feelings other than use drugs, use meds, or kill.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to somebody who's putting out tones, gestures, postures, and facial expressions? You say, I sense by the tone of your voice you're upset with me or something. Or, I think that by your body language or your gesturing, the bird. Every language has the bird. It's just not always the same bird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every and none of them include language. They're always body language. But they all say the same thing, and you know what it is.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. I sense, I think, I believe, by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, or your gesturing, that you're upset about something. Am I right? Oh, you're not? Okay. If you ever are, feel free to bring it up. Then quickly look at your watch and see how long it takes them to come back and say, I am upset.
Mm.
Is it convenient for you to talk now? If they say no, tomorrow, then go in the bathroom or the bedroom and write out a little message that you're going to give them tomorrow, because when you go to sleep tonight, if you don't have a specimen of your painful feelings, your subconscious is going to paper shred it, and that's what EMDR is all about. Your subconscious, when you go to sleep, goes back and forth between your right lobe experiential and your left lobe brain, and you paper shred like an etch-a-sketch.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Shapiro, Dr. Shapiro, has created EMDR in order to bring up stuff that has been buried in your subconscious that you sloughed off.
And what does that stand for, EMDR?
Eye movement rapid desensitization.
Oh, okay.
It's connecting the right lobe experience with the left lobe data. There are therapists. It's wonderful.
And
there's a book by Shapiro called EMDR, and it's all about eye movement and brain transmissions. You see, right-handed men have a smaller bridge between the right and left lobe. So they're either in one lobe or the other. They're either playing silly little boy or they're being an executive.
Mm-hmm.
Left-handed men, ambidextrous men, anatomically gay men, and all women have a bigger corpus callosum, which allows us to blend our thoughts and feelings together, which drives right-handed men crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well,
yes, it is.
Dr. Pat, it's the end of another wonderful interview with you. This was even better than the one last year.
Really?
Yes, because I'm so happy that now I know I can lie.
But remember, not for moral, ethical, or legal.
I know.
Okay?
Yes.
Anyway,
I'll be good.
Thank you for having me on.
It was
and
my
I
pleasure.
Hope that anyone out there listening will get something they can use. And
oh,
don't forget,
absolutely.
Every Monday night I'm at the Odyssey Theater, 7 to 8:30, Sepulveda at Olympic.
We will be there. And again, the book is The Answers Book, Dr. Pat Allen, and the website is drpatallen.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. Be well.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. I'm going to go home and take notes. I knew most of this stuff, but she said some new things, which I love. Because I was always confused about that dating three guys thing, about who to have sex with, not to have sex, when to have sex, blah, blah, blah. So I'm glad she straightened it out. And that is it for today. I hope you found that interview as fun and enlightening as I did. And remember, my website is theartoflove.net. My book is available at Lucia's Lessons of Love. No, just lessonsoflove.net. And until next time, remember that love inspires, empowers, uplifts, and enlightens.
You're listening to The Art of Love with your host, Lucia, right here on LA Talk Radio.